Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Well then, you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 1,200 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day at www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Paranormal investigation groups all over the world are looking for answers. We all clamor at the chance to get even the tiniest peek at who or what is on the other side. CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups. We are dedicated to finding the answers, dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal, and dedicated to proving that some places are
truly haunted.
Let's go.
Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's Drive Time Paranormal Broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in October of 1949, Mr. Seelap attended grade in high school in, oh my God, why did I put this even in this thing in here? Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Did I get it right, David?
That's right.
Oh, look at me.
Ghost guy.
And in 1972, he graduated from the University of Wisconsin, Madison, with a Bachelor of Arts degree as a dual major in history and political science. His personal studies in theology, biblical studies, and history have always held a fascination for him. He attended Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, and received a Master's of Arts in theology degree in June of 1987. His website is www.askelm.com, askelm.com. And we'd like to welcome David Seelap back to the show. David, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back with you three lunatics.
And by the way,
you've obviously been here before.
The coolest people are born in October. I just had to say
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Okay. So
absolutely.
Bonnie
absolutely.
Was born on Halloween.
Yes.
She was actually born on Halloween, which we...
A day late, some people say.
Which is one of those things I heard after I met her, and I'm like, Christ, that's so fitting. And it's just, God, does that
Everybody
work?
Says that. I wonder why.
We're going to kind of get into a discussion tonight on non-physical beings.
Right.
You said this would be good to talk about. And the biblical understanding of this.
Right. If you believe in God, you believe in a non-physical being.
Mm-hmm.
However, and a lot of people, it's funny, because they believe in that, but they don't believe in other non-physical beings like... angels or your previous show on demons and that sort of thing.
Yes,
I find that fascinating, but, you know, that's the way it is. Most Orthodox Christianity categorizes things in very simple ways, much too simple, more simple than the biblical understanding. They have God, they have Jesus, they have angels, and demons are fallen angels, and then you have man. And that man is some type of a spiritual being, a ghost in a shell type of thing with an immortal soul. I don't see that in the biblical understanding. I see a very populated universe outside of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, human beings are, and the physical creation on Earth is probably the only physical beings that there are. Everything else is a spiritual being composed of spirit realm, which has a body. Even God the Father has a body. Christ has a body. Angels have bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And they can transition from spirit into physical, in my understanding.
Okay.
And, you've got cherubim and seraphim and the angel of the Lord. You've got Michael and Gabriel and the prince of Grisha and the prince of Persia. Prince of Tyre, who's not Satan. You have the being talked about in Isaiah chapter 14, who's not Satan, this Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
That's Lucifer is a Latin term. It's not even in the Hebrew or the Greek. So you have a whole... Satan was created evil. There was no fall from evil or anything. And if you keep the biblical categories... separated, it's a lot more populated universe with a lot more variety, just like we see in the regular realm out there. I mean, you've got cherubim that have, you know, head of a lion, an eagle, a man, and a bull.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these apparently are composite beings that come together to form a vehicle. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me why. You know, God travels in a vehicle, at least he chooses to do so. I had a friend of mine ask me, you know, similar to what Captain Kirk asked to this godlike being in one of the Star Trek movies. Excuse me, why does God need a spaceship?
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine asked me something similar. He asked, why does God need an army? Well, my answer to him was, and the biblical answer, is he chooses to delegate. And within all these beings, the capstone of the teachings about them comes from the Apostle Paul. And particularly in the Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, and Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Now, what aspect of this would you want to focus in on? What interests you guys? Evil spirits are not fallen angels. It never says that anywhere in Scripture, not in Revelation or anywhere. So I see those as separate from the fallen angels that, you know, fell with Satan in Revelation 12 and verse 9.
I want to back this up to a comment you made a couple seconds ago.
Yeah.
Because I find it very, it's always been on the tip of my tongue. But I've never really heard it put that way, and I just want to run with this for a second. You know, and I've run into this personally. I'm sure Bonnie's run into this personally. I'm sure you've run into it personally, David. Where I've had people that I tend not to say what I do a lot anymore, as far as studying the paranormal and doing a show and stuff like that to people I don't know. But I've had in the past where I said, yeah, well, I go out and sometimes I go out in the field and study. Go out to haunted locations, see if we can find any type of weird evidence. And I've had people say, well, that's sacrilegious. You need Jesus. You need to get Jesus in your life. You need to have Jesus. And I'm not knocking them. Patting down on them. But what you just said a few minutes ago really just hammered me in the head, because people believe in God. They believe in God here. You know, we believe in God, which, like you said a minute ago, I may get this wrong, but essentially, it's something we can't see. The same thing as a ghost, a disembodied spirit. But they believe in that. They believe in God. Whatever name they want to give it, but they won't believe. And I've had people tell me, I don't believe in ghosts. I believe it's against God. But they say, they won't believe in that, but they will believe in God. Bottom line, and I find it very, very ironic now after hearing what you had to say about that.
Yeah, well, the spirit realm is similar to the physical realm. It's just invisible. And, a lot of the lesser beings act like they're more powerful simply because they're invisible and they can be seen when they choose, or sometimes perhaps when they don't choose. And they can walk through walls. You know, that impresses people. When you're invisible and can walk through walls, that's very impressing on individuals. Now, I believe the scriptures make it quite clear that magic works and magic is effective. But my reading and my study indicates that you can't do magic without spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then we have this whole division. Well, are spirits real beings or are they creations of our mind? It's quite clear in Psalm 8 and in Hebrews chapter 1 or chapter 2, that's where it asks, what is man that you are even mindful of him? He is made a little bit lower than the angels, it says in Psalm 8. Well, the Hebrew says he made man a little bit lower than the Elohim. That's the common word that occurs 6,000 times for God. But it's not talking about God the Father, or Yahweh. It's talking about Elohim, which includes spirits, daimons, angelic beings, and anything that is spirit is called an Elohim. Elohim just means power. Now, most of the time, it does refer to the Creator in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And the New Testament is even more complex. But you're talking about that we're not that much less than even the angelic realm in terms of power, because we can create things out of nothing. Look at an architect. An architect creates a building out of his mind and uses other people to do the active making of that.
Yeah.
God did the same thing with Earth, and he uses all these entities, spirit beings, to keep things running smoothly. And that's their primary job. And, you know, they screw up. They screw up big time. In Job, it says he charges his angels with folly. And that means stupidity and mm-hmm. also evil. So you've got all these aspects here. It's a lot more interesting, really, than the just normal Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, and even Judaism, mm-hmm. Pushes this. So,
well, I mean, and it's something
I don't know if that answered your question.
No,
but
it does, and it makes me think even further, which, you know, that's what we're doing here. but I, it makes me think.
Does that hurt when you do that?
At this point, sir, it does.
Yes.
But we're going to keep running with this thing, because that's what we do here. It makes me think even further, because you did mention something that, you know, man can create something from nothing, much like God has.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
In a lot of my studies now, professional and unprofessional studies, when I'm just working on whatever, I've been going back to this a lot lately, and this is just me personally, and I was talking with Doug about it, you know, recently, and I was like admiring, and I've been doing a lot of it, just admiring on things, because, yeah, you know, like, in, you know, and I always like to use computers, because we're dorks around here by trade. And
you and Doug are.
Okay, Doug and I are dorks by trade,
mm-hmm.
and I've always often said, I'm like, you know, we're dealing with systems now that, you know, they're the number, the processing numbers, the teraflops and everything, when all these numbers get in there, I mean, and it's all astronomical figures. And it
right.
all came from nothing at one time. We're manipulating electricity. We're essentially manipulating fire, correct? And,
yeah.
I mean, it all came from an idea. And it's, you know, and you always build on ideas. You build and you build and you build. I mean, obviously the first computer that was ever made, the first, I would say, contemporary computer that was ever made, it is nowhere near the power that the average desktop is now, or
right.
just your average computer you have at home. The average desktop computer would have actually occupied 4 or 5 giant rooms in a data center,
mm-hmm.
you know, 30 or 40 years ago. So you build and you build and you build and you create on top of each thing you build. And I find that to be absolutely fascinating. And that's what man
yeah.
can do, like you said, David.
And, you know, the chip in your phone, for goodness sake,
yeah.
is probably more sophisticated than what they took to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 68, 69.
Yeah.
Yeah, now the whole purpose of everything is keyed to mankind, and everyone will be saved. And that'll get the evangelicals and the Catholics and the Orthodox and the Protestants up in arms. But that's what it says.
Everyone will be saved, David?
Even you.
Bonnie, get the hookers and blow right now.
Well, you know, that's the major objection that theologians have had from throughout history,
yeah.
even in the early church,
yeah.
About 200 years. That's the exact objection. That's what St. Augustine actually said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, if we tell the people that, they're going to run riot. Well, you know, do if you want to, but, you know, even Martin Luther said, if you're going to sin, sin boldly. Now, he didn't recommend that. He said there's a payback, and
yeah.
there is with this, too. But, you know, that's the truth. Why hide it from people? It's right in there in Scripture, plainly. Isaiah talks about that in the Old Testament, and especially Paul, and so does John, talk about it extensively, and it's been hidden, not hidden, but ignored, and it's really quite explicit. You know, in 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man,
mm-hmm.
the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, he either meant that or he didn't. The ransom is either for everybody or it's not. He said, well, you have the ability to reject it. Come on. You're going to give a gun to a 3-year-old and say, don't use that now. Don't touch that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're supposed to be totally ignorant. who are supposed to be so knowledgeable that we make this eternity-changing decision, but once we become a, quote, Christian, end quote, suddenly we become babes and we don't know anything. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says in 1 Timothy 4:10,
mm-hmm.
He's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And the others will be taught later in a physical resurrection. That gets into technical aspect.
Well, that's okay. And that's now I wanted to ask you that, Dave.
There is no hell either. Okay. Let me put it that clearly.
Okay, but the thing is still, I mean, I have, and Bonnie's clenching her teeth here, too. Bonnie, do you have something?
No, go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, all right. What we said earlier, what's being said is that, you know, I mean, I made a joke a few minutes ago, get the hookers and blow or whatever.
Yeah, which I really did.
Yeah, they're sitting here waiting for us. After the show, we're going to party down here. It's going to be awesome. But, I mean, okay, in life, and when it comes to, you know, I mean, and I've always seen, you know, look, you know, there's vices and then there's true evil acts, right? I mean,
right.
As we know in contemporary religion, in all forms, you know, imbibing alcohol, imbibing in premarital sex, I mean,
mm-hmm.
all these types of things that we refer to as vices, where they really don't, I mean, in most circumstances, really affect anybody else but yourself when you commit these acts, and that's why they're considered vices. But there are degrees of acts that, you know, murder, rape, which are despicable acts. I mean, they're horrendous.
Or like the ancient Israelites used to do, setting their children, the kings of Israel, the evil kings, they would set their own children on fire.
Yeah.
To Moloch.
Let's be frank, that's not
human
cool.
Sacrifice.
That's not
but
cool
everybody's,
at all.
Everybody's ancestors did that, you know.
Okay.
It's not a Jewish blood libel or anything. Everybody's, my ancestors and yours, I guarantee it. There's a wonderful book by Nigel Davies called Human Sacrifice. It's good because it's comprehensive. It just shows that everybody's ancestors did it. And when Abraham was told to go sacrifice Isaac, it was to set up the situation so that God could make it clear, don't ever do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because people had gotten the wrong idea that that's what he wanted. Way back in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
But that's off. That's kind of off the point. But
yeah,
there's great evil and there's you know I loused up.
But I mean, the idea here though was okay. Look, you know, and again, I mean, you can't by saying this. I mean, we're watering it down. Also, what you said before was that you know. Jesus made this, you know, he did this thing for all men. All men,
yeah.
either all or nothing. Either give it all or don't do it at all, right?
Right.
And then you have a person that does commit these acts, you know, murder of children, you know, murder in any type of form, right?
Well, Apostle Paul was a murderer.
Okay, then.
If he can make it, I can make it.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's what the idea here is. You know, it's hard for me to process that someone who's done multiple murders on possibly, you know, let's just think of the worst thing you can do, right?
Murder of a Hitler, child. Hitler, Genghis Khan.
There you go. This is a great example. It's hard for me to go, okay, now this guy's dead, and he's going to go, okay, yeah, come on in, man. Party's here. Everything's cool. Don't worry about what you did. We're
right.
Fine. We're square now that you're dead. And I'm not arguing, but I'm just, it's really hard for me to process that, David.
It's not all fun and games. Imagine the anguish when these guys are taught what the game is and that they've been tools. Look, everything is controlled, even the angelics, even the spirit beings, probably a lot more than we set up. The whole thing is kind of like a play, a stage play, in which we're just walking through the parts without knowing what the script is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So even the evil people are set up to be that way. Even Satan himself was created evil. It says in Isaiah, where is it here? Isaiah 45:7. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. That's a stunning statement. And I've listened to sermons on the radio as I'm driving, and people will quote that verse and then deny it. You know,
you're denying the word of God, then, essentially.
Yeah, the word for evil is the common word for evil that occurs hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, there's no ambiguity here. And it's just amazing. But, you know, there will be a balancing of the scales. It appears like we might have total recall later on. And there will be a physical resurrection, and there might be a payback to a certain extent.
Well,
and there will the punishment will probably be mental on the part of the people with the anguish of what they had done.
And that's even though people that are alive will have this realization. I mean, go ahead. Sorry, David.
People will be resurrected. There's the spiritual resurrection when Christ comes for those who believe that he's their Savior or their Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, there's a physical resurrection after the millennium called the Great White Throne Judgment, in which everybody else will be resurrected, 30, 40 billion people. And mm-hmm. I think we touched on this last time.
Yeah.
You know, that's 2 years ago. Don't you remember? But, you know, and all these 20, 30 billion people, or however many have gone through since the creation, will be then brought up to the physical and be taught what those who believe in Christ now believe, you know, have been taught in repentance and all that stuff, and what to do and what not to do. And you're not going to have to do rituals and, you know, do all this rigmarole. It's a lot simpler than that. You know, you don't have to not eat pork or any of that stuff.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, David. My brain is mulling here.
yeah, well, we're covering a lot of ground,
yeah,
to say the least. So when all these things are accomplished, then literally there will be no difference in status between you and me and anybody else, any other human being that ever existed, from Adam to whoever the last person was, except Christ will always be our elder brother, and then there will be God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You and Bonnie will literally look on the face of your Creator, God the Father, someday, as will I.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't be afraid of that, because that's what you were created for. Now, all these other beings, all these other non-physical beings, were created to help you accomplish that. Not in the way like Isaac Asimov's Childhood's End, which I'm still waiting for the movie, by the way. But in a way that it is a developmental situation, not in multiple lives like a reincarnation. That's actually what the evil spirits experience, is they go from body to body, from person to person, and they are re-embodied by possessing an individual. And, you know, there's apparently no limit to how many can fit in a person, because they're non-physical. When Jesus, you know, cast out the demons at the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It said, "My name is Legion," the demon said. And it's in one case it used a singular, in another case it used a plural, in reference to itself or themselves. And Legion is about 5,000 individuals, 5,000 troops.
Mm.
So there's no reason to think it wasn't telling the truth. You know, when you talk to the Creator, see, there's God the Father, who's the Creator, and then he created Christ first. Then everything else was created through him. All the other beings called the sons of God,
mm-hmm.
which are different than angels, that's what we will become, our sons of God, children of God. And then all the other angelic beings, seraphim, cherubim, and then the evil spirits. And even they, and Paul relates to them and calls them the elementals. They're the ones that, the elementals are the lowest bottom rung things, and they operate, they're the mechanics. They are the stevedores and the people who keep things running, and they're losing control because the system has entropy. They're the ones that tell the geese to fly south and how far, and tells the polar bear, okay, it's getting a little warmer. You have to come in. Mm-hmm. You can't swim 50 miles out and expect to come back. Okay? And all of this is kind of falling apart and at the present time, and the bad guys are going to be imprisoned once Christ returns. Now, don't ask me when that will be. It will not happen in my lifetime.
Nor but, ours, probably. I mean,
well, certainly not yours. Yeah. But no, not with the way you've been talking. No,
not with all the hookers and blow.
Get in line. I've heard that before plenty of times.
No, but it might not even happen in my kid's lifetime. But I do believe it will happen, and you know. But that's like we talked about King David's tomb in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
That all has to transpire, too. And unfortunately, I have nothing new to report on that.
Well,
but,
that's cool. Why don't we take a quick break here for a few minutes, all right? Because I've been doing this
my
a lot.
My name is Bonnie.
Yeah, Amber's my
I am
girlfriend.
Not your girlfriend. Thank God for small favors.
And well, I didn't call you Bambi, you know.
I just illustrated why we need to take a break, clearly. So, you mind if we take a quick break, David? Is that cool?
Fine.
Let's do that. And when we come back, I mean, let's just keep rolling with this. Because, we're talking.
Anything you want to talk about.
We are really just kind of talking about everything here. I mean, this is like a capstone discussion, in my opinion. And it just, but I got to process it. So let's take a quick break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back with talking more with David Seelaff after this.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Interested in ghosts? UFO? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Will be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night? Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kid show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.lagghosts.com. That's www.lagghosts.com.
See, our chat room is still lowbrow as ever.
Hey.
Who's that nut on the air?
I just looked in there for a minute, and they're talking about sex tours, and, you know, God forbid we talk this world-changing stuff.
Before you go judging, you saw one line in the chat room. We were actually talking about paranormal conferences.
Oh, okay, good. In a further illustration of me being fried here, and thank goodness we're towards the end of the show, I ran out of here to get another cup of coffee, and I wanted just to cut it with a little bit of water because this is the stuff from this morning,
mm-hmm.
and that makes a nice sludge. So you got to cut it with some water, like antifreeze.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you don't like just take a sip and go and like dry out like the Sahara. So I'm doing that, and I grabbed the hose thing on the sink, and it just won't work.
You didn't turn the water.
Yeah, I did that for like a minute. I'm sitting there like, why isn't this thing working? Why isn't water coming out? What happened to this is it, weather warfare, it's
you
happening
have to
all
turn
you know?
It on, Scott.
Yeah, so I'm like, wait, the sink isn't on. The faucet isn't. Jeez, old Pete. So yeah, I'm back. And you know, and I've done this before, I have to explain this also very briefly. I've done this with Amber also. I've called Amber Erica. I've called Erica Amber. I've called you Amber now.
Mm-hmm.
So the three
that's
of you
that's not the first time you've called me.
But I think Amber. It's a term of endearment, because those are all three ladies that are near and dear to me. So
aww.
Maybe I'll just call you.
That's everybody all at once. 1, 2, 3. Aww.
Why don't we just call you Bonerica Burr?
Wow. How Boom. About I just stick with Bonnie and you call me whatever the hell you want?
Just don't call me late for dinner.
I mean, I know you've probably called me worse than Amber or Erica before.
Oh, yeah.
I'm perfectly okay with that because I've called you way worse than Scott. So
we're in various states of just the burnout stages here, but we're cruising here. And, I mean, we've covered, it's astounding to me, we've covered a lot in the short time we've talked here, David.
We've covered from creation to the end of creation, and then what's beyond that, nobody knows because it hasn't been told to us. We can't imagine it, as Paul says.
Well,
you know.
You mentioned earlier, and you know, again, to cut to the meat of this thing a little bit, you said that there is no hell, and I found that
right.
interesting. I mean, let's
well, there's three different words for hell,
mm-hmm.
and let's dismiss with the easiest one. Tartarus is the word in Greek for hell.
Mm-hmm.
It only occurs once, and it refers only to the spirit beings, the angelics that are apparently were cavorting with women after, or in Genesis.
Yeah.
Genesis, during the Genesis time, although the Genesis 6 sons of God are not angels, but the angels were doing it also. And I actually do think that the sons of God bred the Nephilim.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the Nephilim when the
but the angelics, when they bred with women, either agreeably or forcefully,
mm-hmm.
they produced monsters.
Monsters in what sense? I mean,
half human and half whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
whether, yeah, I mean, look, you've got all these drawings on the on the ancient things in Babylon and all sorts of places of half human, half something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think a lot of this stuff was going on. I think a lot of it is going on. You have it, things going on with the so-called UFOs, abductions, and this stuff is real. It happened before, and as Jesus had the prophecy, as in the days of Noah, they will be marrying and giving in marriage. Well, that refers to, who's marrying and giving in marriage? Everybody. Spirit beings as well. Now, they have to be physical when they do it,
mm-hmm.
but there are some unfortunate and ugly results that, come from that. It says that Noah was perfect in his generations. He was not part of that. But Noah's wife may have been, had some of that stuff in there. The wives of Noah's three sons may have had some of that tainted blood. But it doesn't matter. They're still human, and no matter what part of the things might be in there.
Okay.
The Apostle Paul clearly says that we're all human anyway. Look at Christ had in his genealogy Ruth and Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was married to a Hittite, and the Hittites would have, orgiastic sex with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Ruth. She was a Moabitess. She would have to do her time as a temple prostitute, as part of the society.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the pagan religions did. This is what separated the upper classes from the lower classes in all ancient societies. So this is part of reality of the way things were. Everybody was and is polluted. It's my understanding that one-third of everyone who's of Asian descent is related to Genghis Khan in some way.
Cool.
Because
I'm not related to Genghis Khan, Bonnie.
I'm kidding.
Simply because, he was a busy boy.
Yeah.
And so were his descendants. And I remember reading that the other day. So there's a lot of things going on that, if we knew the half truth of it, we would be shocked. If we knew the full truth, we would believe it. And UFOs always have a paranormal component to them. And this is all in my understanding of these things transitioning between physical and non-physical. Sometimes the craft that's in themselves seem to be alive. This was covered in the series Babylon 5 and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be some aspect to that, and with beings on the inside, and they transition. John Keel, one of the researchers from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s.
Oh, yeah, very familiar with John Keel.
Yeah, he said that if you see something transitioning and zipping away and going through the light spectrum, you're dealing with a real physical object. But if you have something that goes from the visible to the invisible, you're dealing with something that is transitioning into the a different realm.
Mm-hmm.
You're not it's physical while it's here, but it's not. But suddenly it becomes not physical. So, sometimes they just zip off, and sometimes they dance around like you had had in an experience before.
Mm-hmm.
So all this reality is part, in my understanding, of a biblical worldview, and it's all coherent. I don't have all the answers, of course.
No, nobody does.
Because it's such a big, huge universe. But someday we will all know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, in my understanding, that's very comforting. Look, no matter how bad things get, everybody will make it. From the children to, the adults who have lived long and horrible lives. Because most people's lives throughout history, even in the present, except for, the middle class, most lives are, pain and suffering, and then you get to die. And, you know, it's the old problem of evil. That's a large component of the paranormal, is people are looking for that answer to the problem, those answers to the problem of evil. Well, maybe there's you know, a way out of it on the other side. Well, my understanding is a lot of the information that people get is lies from the spirit realm, from those who do not have mankind's best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not telling them the truth, and they lie. Read the material about from the contactees of what the aliens tell them. It's internally contradictory, and it doesn't bear out with any sense of reality. And when you can test it, it's usually wrong. To the extent that government people have communicated with entities, that's a big problem, is because my understanding, talking to some of the researchers, Linda Moulton Howe and others, these things lie all the time. Not some of the time, but all the time. And whether you were talking about contactees or, you know, people who go into trances and channel, or whether you're talking, look, even, Edgar Cayce, mm-hmm. he was totally wrong with his prophecies. Atlantis ain't there, and it should have come up by now anyway, according to his scenario. And Nostradamus is way out of bounds in terms of his own time frame. And, you know, a lot of this stuff isn't panning out from the non-biblical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And we can argue about the biblical aspects and prophecies too, but that's a whole different, that's outside of the scope of what you're doing. But, you know, all of this reality has to come back to the Creator. And even the bad spirits, even Satan himself, will be, I mean, he was created to do what he's doing, to be an adversary, to be a tempter. I mean, let's face it, he didn't just break into to Eden and to tempt Eve. He was allowed to go there.
Mm.
There's just no other way.
Now, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, Satan, I mean, Adam was tripped. Adam and Eve were tripped. They weren't pushed,
mm-hmm.
but they were tripped up on their own.
You mentioned a minute ago, in regards to the middle class, and I don't want to turn this into a political discussion, but you said everybody with the exception, if I got this correct, everybody with the exception of the middle class, I mean, through history, they've dealt with, you know, they've had to deal with lives of pain and anguish, correct?
Spent most of their time suffering, yeah.
Suffering, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and it seems kind of, I mean, middle class, I mean, I guess, like, I mean, Bonnie, I guess we're middle class,
yeah.
right? I'm middle
yes,
class.
Yes, yeah.
I don't have to get it personal, I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, you have enough to eat, let's put it that
yeah.
way, and then you can think about other things.
Yeah.
Most people have to struggle. First time in history, the Chinese people have had enough to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not, again, I'm not poking the gun at the, but what about the upper class? It seems like they have a lot of time, they seem like they have plenty of time to think about things besides where am I going to eat?
They try to run things for everybody else.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
Because that's what they think their job is.
Yeah, but I mean, why wouldn't they be kind of classified in that same thing, though, as far as living a life of pain, of being an exception of that, obviously? It seems like. Go ahead.
Look at Michael Jackson. He has the world by the tail. What does he do? He destroys himself. Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, a lot of creative people, they're not happy.
No, and you're 100% right. I just talked about this with somebody this week, another friend of mine, about people just like that, David. I mean, where you'd think, like, you know, I mean, and I hate to use him as an example, but Kurt Cobain from Nirvana, another good, you know, from the early 90s. I mean, he was the king. I mean, at that time, he had everything.
He was
God, literally. I mean, and I mean that in a relative sense. But he was a rock god. I mean, he was the biggest star in the world as far as music, or even in general. He was one of the big, and he as far as we know, he committed suicide. He killed himself.
Yeah, so did Elvis.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's all these people. Again, and you're making me think. I appreciate that, David. Because I'm thinking. Well, all these rich people, they're well off too. Why is it just the middle class? Well, it seems like a lot of these rich people, you know, I always like to use the term "heavy lies the crown," because
and they feel guilty.
Yeah,
a lot of them feel guilty.
Yeah, I mean,
why?
they have a lot of this mental stress on them. So they may not be any better off than someone who is struggling every day to find a meal. I mean, they have the meal, right, but they don't have the peace of mind that comes with it, like I guess a lot of the middle class does. So
yeah,
it makes sense, David. I just wanted to just understand that better. Thank you.
Okay.
I really did, because, I mean, all you said was, you know, middle class. I'm like, well, wait a second. Why are we getting picked on? What's going on here?
Well, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying you have time to think about other things, whereas the really poor don't. And the upper classes, of course, they have time to. And those who do, you know, are happier. You know, the scientists and they actually live longer. If you use your mind actively for other things, and especially for other people, those individuals tend to live longer and be happier. But if you're eking out an existence and all you have is sex and and drugs and indulgences, how bad of a sin is that? If you're living in a gutter in Calcutta and the only pleasure in your life is to have a sexual release.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, a lot of cases, that is the only pleasure they have.
Well, yeah.
Is that
Who
am I to criticize them?
No, and I understand. I agree. I mean, I've often heard also. I heard somebody told me that they're like, you know, usually people that got a job to do, they live longer. It's the people that stop working and stop doing things, they're the ones that die. If you got a job to do, you're going to be around as long as it takes to get, you know, to do what it, you know, do whatever it is you're doing. So, and again, that just ties back to what you just said, keeping the mind active, keeping your mind working, and not, again, being focused on other things besides just the basic things of life, sexual release, eating, I mean, or even the wicked things, you know. Or, you know, as in drug the indulgence of drugs or alcohol and things like that. I mean, as we know, those things destroy your physical body anyways, and, you know, they shorten your lifespan regardless. So, I mean, it does make sense. I mean, one other thing, you know, and I think we may have touched on this because we're, like, totally running out of time. Like, we've been doing this entire damn night.
Oh, yeah.
It's driving me crazy. You know, we've already established that human beings are physical beings. And you mentioned the ghost in a shell idea earlier, too.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. I believe that when you die, you're dead.
Yeah, you say there is no immortal soul, which I was like, whoa!
Right. No.
Why?
There is no immortal soul because the soul is a composite of the spirit and the body. And when the body dies, the spirit goes back to God, but there's no consciousness with that spirit. It's just the animating, empowering of, together with the body, that creates the soul. The soul dissolves when the body dies. The soul is not a separate entity. And this is quite clear from the Old Testament, and the New Testament confirms that. I had somebody write me and ask me the other day, what about the transfiguration with Moses and Elijah appearing with Christ? And it says specifically that was a vision. That did not really happen. It was a vision that was so real, like a hologram, like you see on Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know? That was so real that it had every appearance of being real. And the three guys that were with Jesus, James, Peter, and John, wanted to build a tabernacle, because it was apparently the Feast of Tabernacles time, wanted to build a shelter so that we could all hang out for a while and eat.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no immortal soul, and you are not ensouled until you take that first breath, and when you take the last breath, the moment after, you die, you know, and then the brain, of course, filters out. But you can only live so long without breathing.
Oh.
Sometimes they can bring you back, and sometimes not. Apparently it doesn't leave right away. The spirit doesn't leave right away. And whether that can be seen or measured or whatever, I mean, I don't know. What What else do you want to know about?
Well, no, that? I mean, basically what you're saying is that, you know, we don't, our soul is not ours. I mean, for lack of a better term, I mean, we got it on lease. We lease this thing, and once we pass away, our physical body passes
right.
away, that goes
now,
back.
Now, look, you didn't ask to be born and to put in the situation you are. You didn't ask to have the active personality or hyperactive personality, if you like, that you have.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way you are, and luckily you're fed enough so that you can have the energy and the metabolism to constantly restore. So that you are unique, and you will be resurrected, and your spirit will come again some other time in the future, one time, and you will be put back, a body will be remade for you, and all your memories will be put back, and you will be, quote, the same person. Now, I remember in philosophy class in my freshman year of college where they said that ipso facto, that is impossible. Well, you know, God gave you the soul to begin with, the spirit, and put it with the body. I mean, I just had my first granddaughter born a month or so ago. That whole process is a little weird and strange when you think about it. This thing grows inside another being and then kind of pops out, and it has characteristics of both parents, and yet it's a totally unique individual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your case, Scott, it's sometimes a warped individual. But,
I love it.
But that's a different issue.
Well, let's end with that.
I think that's the perfect place to end, because usually it's me zinging you.
Yeah, I'm taking shots from the guests
now.
But
when
this
the
is
guests
great.
Do it, this is... He officially rose up the ladder.
Yeah,
you're
going to be taking the fourth mic now, David
my
Cornabani.
My guest list just got edited.
Yeah, I can hear the meeting coming up right now. We need to get David Selah back on again as soon as possible, Scott. We had such a great time with him, and he just beat you to death. We love it. It's wonderful. Let's get David back on. No, David, we have to thank. Unfortunately, yeah, we are at the end of the hour here, which really
how
kind of sucks.
How did that flew by?
It's been a pleasure.
I love these talks, especially like of this sort, because you know we're not
high philosophy.
Yeah, high philosophy. Where we're really getting. You know, and people listen to this show, you know, you go out and you ghost hunt and stuff like that. And this is what's the meat of it, I think. I mean, this is what we're talking about here. Yeah, you might get some cool photo, but, you know, how the heck did it get there? And, I mean, it may time, it may not, but we're really kind of getting to the meat of this. And that's what I love about doing the show and about having guests like yourself on the show. So thank you so much, David. We really appreciate it. Hang on the line.
Great.
Yeah, don't hang on the line for 1 second. Don't leave us just yet. We're just going to finish this show out and then fall out of our seats or talk to you or do something like that. Great show, I have to say, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really action-packed.
It flew by.
Yeah, it flew by. Got to thank, of course, David Selah, who's on the line right now, Jerry Smith, who joined us in the last hour, and last but not least, Dwayne Claude, who joined us to talk some demonology and things like that. Got to thank Troy Taylor from the Haunted America Conference last weekend. Thanks for having us. You're a true friend. We just had a great time out there. Got to thank all you guys out there, people in the chat room, people who listen live, but don't go to the chat room, people who listen to the podcast or whatever it is out there, because there's all different forms. We don't even know what the heck's going on half the time with this show. Thank you guys all for listening to this show. Doug, hopefully, I think he'll be back here.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be back next
and
week.
Hopefully you'll be here.
Yes.
Because we actually had all three hosts in the studio last
weekend.
I know,
it was awesome, wasn't it?
And it was just magical, I have to say.
It was.
It was amazing. On that note, we're going to get out of here, though. This has been Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll see you guys next week.